gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, P.J. Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Rich.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. Of course, you can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you guys know the drill by now. If you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, the guests, the content, the analysis, all of that, please do me a huge favor. Subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Drop us a review. I do read every single one of those. They mean a great deal to me. Leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. Today's episode will be part two of kind of our one-part, two-part Clippers preview series. And the reason I wanted to do two previews is, one, it's, you know, this is a big game. There's a lot riding on this game as far as seeding and how things are going to look come playoff time. And this will be the first chance the Rockets get to face the Clippers since committing fully to small ball, since the Robert Covington trade, all this stuff. It's a really big game. So I wanted to get, you know, some insight from the Locked On Clippers guys first to get some of their opinions about how this game is going to look. And now we get to look at it through a bit more of a Rockets lens with maybe a bit more Rockets bias. And to do that with me here today is the artist formerly known as Play Gary Clark, now currently known as Disney Gary Clark, Mr. Itamar1710 from Rockets Twitter. How's it going today, man? I'm happy to finally have you on the podcast.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited to be here. I've actually never done something like this, like a podcast or anything like that. So I'm really excited. And yeah, let's get to it.
Definitely. And so here, well, first things first, before we even dive into our Rockets topics, you're basically, I would consider you like at least, what are we thinking? You've got to be like an A-list like Rockets Twitter celebrity, right? I feel like that's a pretty decent ranking, wouldn't you say?
I have a decent amount of followers. I try to post a lot of contact and engage with a lot of people. So yeah,
some of the videos you post out there are incredible. I mean, after, you know, whether it's before a game, after a game, I mean, it's almost, I'd say almost on par with Ali Kambijani, because he's, you know, the, like, usually the video guy, and then you're like right there next to him, I feel like, as far as Rockets topics are concerned.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. I mostly started just because I felt like I didn't really understand what I watched in first glance. So I always tried to rewatch the games to see maybe I missed something up. Maybe Jeff Green missed a rotation or anything like that. So I want to know more about the team and who played well and who didn't, especially defensively.
Well, that's definitely the way to do it. And so, you know, we'll go ahead and get into this, you know, kind of previewing this Clippers game. So this is part two of our preview for the upcoming match against the Clippers. Part one I did with the guys from Locked On Clippers. Kind of wanted to get a bit more of a, you know, less of a Rockets bias and more, you know, focus on kind of the Clippers side of that matchup. But now that I'm here with Itamar, I want to make sure that I hit on the Rockets topic. So first things first is we've got this significant, I'm going to call it, it's just, it is what it is. It's a rebounding issue. This team is going to struggle to get rebounds. And they, you know, Mike D'Antoni's been talking about it. The entire team has been discussing it. It was a decision that if you're going to go small, you're going to give something up. And it looks like they've chosen to give up rebounds. Now, against the Knicks, they were out-rebounded, you know, substantially. 31, plus 31 for the Knicks in the rebounding department. So I guess my first question is, kind of moving into this game against the Clippers, who may or may not use a small ball lineup of their own, I mean, rebounding-wise, do we think that it's more just an effort thing, at least from what you've seen, or do you think that they schematically are not rebounding to the best of their abilities because it's like just the scheme is not allowing them to do that?
I think that it depends on the matchup. Like, for example, against the Knicks, they had a possession where Mitchell Robinson was twisted between Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers, and he just grabbed it and fully done in one motion. And Eric Gordon and Austin could have tried as much as they want. Just, he was going to dunk that. But against, for example, against the Clippers, when they likely go small for most of the game because Doc Rivers has little to no trust in Ivica Zubac. So I think it's really going to be more of an effort thing against the Clippers because they won't really be bigger. Maybe like by 1 inch or something, but that's nothing of significance. And I think the big deal when it comes to rebounding is second chance points given up versus points forced of turnover. So for example, if maybe the Rockets lost the rebounding battle by 10 rebounds, but they managed to force 12 more turnovers and score 20 points of turnovers, then it was a successful trade-off. So I think one of the most important things that I will try and monitor in this game is the second chance points versus points forced of turnover, because that's really, I mean, for example, Kawhi, the Clippers don't really have one elite ball handler who's really good at keeping the ball and not turning it over. So I think that's an area where the Rockets can really attack the Clippers and maybe that's what they can win the trade-off and really cancel out that rebounding disadvantage that they will rebounding gap that they will still likely give up due to their size and maybe sometimes effort. Like, for example, when Mike D'Antoni decides to play a four-guard lineup off the bench with Westbrook, Gordon, Rivers, and McLemore, then they're not going to rebound as well. But if they keep forcing turnovers, then they should be fine.
That's a really great point. There are going to be trade-offs. And, you know, the Rockets, since going small, have actually, you know, there was this belief that they were going to drop off substantially as far as their, you know, defensive production. But their defensive rating in, what was it? I think it's, so I've got the stat pulled up. Their defense rating in 50 games before the Covington trade was actually 109.6 points per 100 possessions allowed. And then in the 10 games that he's been on the team, it's actually still basically the exact same at 109.7 points per possession, per 100 possessions, I should say. So their defense hasn't gotten substantially better since the Covington acquisition, but it also hasn't dropped off. But what has happened is they've decided they're going to allow some rebounds. They're going to focus on interrupting the passing lanes, getting steals, getting out in transition. But they've also, you know, gone to the five out lineup, which has increased their offense because now offensively, since the second half of the season started, there's this lineup and it's the starting lineup. So the starting lineup of Russell Westbrook, Harden, Daniel House Jr., Robert Covington, and PJ Tucker in 132 minutes played together. So across seven games, 132 minutes, they're posting an offensive rating of 119.6 and a defensive rating of 96.5. So that lineup of guys has been spectacular. And so I guess I wonder, what lineup do we think the Clippers are going to roll out to try and match that? Because they've got options, right? They could have, Marcus Morris or Jermichael Green at the five. Some of the guys from Locked On Clippers were saying that we might even see Reggie Jackson in a closing lineup against the Rockets because of his defense. So which lineup? So if you're, Itamar, if you're Doc Rivers and you're trying to match the Rockets down the stretch, what lineup are you putting on the court?
I think I would rather go all in on defense. I wouldn't want to risk it having too many defensive liabilities on the floor in the clutch, especially when the Rockets' offense really comes down to James Harden or Russell Westbrook, please get us something because I isolate one-on-one. I think they will go with Patrick Beverley, either Lou Williams or Marcus Morris. I don't think they'll pick two of them. Probably Lou Williams, just because he's a really good closer. Kawhi and PG. And I think they actually go with Montrez to close the game. Because sometimes I notice that they just close with the best player, with the players they played the best in that particular game. And I think Montrez is actually the player I'm worried about most. More than Paul George and more than Kawhi Leonard because of all the wings the Rockets have. But they don't really have anyone who can match up to Montrez. So if maybe they have some defensive lapses, he can slip screens. And maybe I just think he's going to have a really good game with his intensity and because The Rockets can't really match his size plus heart. I'm glad that you brought up the point about the starting lineup doing really well, because it's something I wanted to bring up. The Rockets' main combinations, main lineups, have actually done really, really well. Like, for example, last two games, they have a negative net rating of minus one. And despite it, for example, when Tucker and Covington are together on the floor, they have a plus 11 net rating. When Westbrook and Harden are together, they're still doing really, really well. I just think that the one major area of concern there for me is the bench units. Mike D'Antoni has decided to, when James Harden is not on the floor, he'll go very small with Russell Westbrook with Jeff Green at the five. And those units, like for example, the most played unit that doesn't include James Harden is Westbrook, McLemore, Gordon, Rivers, and Jeff Green. So that unit doesn't do very well offensively. I expect that to even out because there's some good offensive player there. But defensively, it is really made not good. It gets killed on the glass and inside. So I think the major area of concern for me is the bench units. And if they can just... I'll take it if they can just not lose too much ground when Harden checks out of the game. And then the Clippers play the very deep bench. The Rockets have to go small because that's really what they got.
And those are great points. And I'm glad, you know, we're kind of on the same page about Montrezl Harrell, because that was something that I tweeted out earlier today, just kind of with some miscellaneous stats and just some kind of preliminary thoughts about this matchup. Was I felt the same way, that obviously, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, yes, they're the big names, yes, they're the stars, they're probably going to get theirs, but I think that Montrezl Harrell is the underrated, like, X factor guy that can really take, maybe for lack of better, just take over a game for the Clippers, because you're right, the Rockets don't have anybody that matches his, you know, level of strength as well as athleticism. And, you know, I pointed out his size earlier on Twitter, and somebody said he's 6'7". He's 6'8", first off, not 6'7". And the dude can jump through the gym. You know, he's so athletic and so powerful. And at the end of the day, he always plays with a chip on his shoulder against the Rockets, the team that traded him to the Clippers. So I feel like he's going to come out. He always comes out like he's got something to prove against the Rockets. And I feel like that's not going to be any different in this game. So we'll keep talking about this preview of the biggest game of the season for the Houston Rockets, you know, the ramifications of it in the seeding of the Western Conference and whatnot here in just 1 second. So don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Chatting right now with Mr. Disney Gary Clark himself, Itamar1710 on Twitter. So you guys should go give him a follow. I'm sure you guys are already following him. He's got like triple, maybe quadruple my followers. So, I mean, I'm sure you guys are already following him. But if you're not, the video content he puts out there, it's incredible. So basically, you know, we're previewing this Rockets-Clippers matchup, and the topic that I want to get into next is, first, do we think this is going to be a Russ game or a Harden game, and why?
I think that it's going to be a tale of two halves, because last game, Doc Rivers said that they focused too much on James Harden, we forgot the Rockets have another MVP in Russell Westbrook, and then he dropped 40 points. So I think the Clippers will try to go all in on not allowing Westbrook to go off, and understanding that, well, okay, our tallest guy is Montrezl back there at 6'8", or Jamichael Green, who is not the greatest rim protector, although he is decent in that area. So they're going to really, I think, focus on not letting Westbrook get to the rim. And I think Harden will do really well in the first half. But Westbrook is also had... Lately, if he doesn't have a very good first half, he usually figures something out by the third quarter, and he just keeps attacking. So I think Harden will really dominate in the first half and Westbrook in the second half. Also, something I wanted to mention is that after last game, Westbrook said that the game was basically on him. It was his fault that the Rockets didn't win. And now I don't blame him for anything that happened against the Knicks, just like, first of all, he didn't really have a bad game. He dropped 24 points, I think, on nearly 50% shooting.
Yeah, it was like 9 of 19 or something.
Yeah. So even though he did turn the ball over a bit too much, but that's like he was also playing for the, I think, that small injury bothered him. So I think he actually played well, and that the fact that he takes responsibility after even just not playing the best is one of his best games. Is really incredible to me. And usually, if you ask Thunder fans, just last 2 years, after Westbrook says it's my bad and I'll play better next time, he has his best games of the season. He just plays, he just completely locks in on a different level. So I think Westbrook will have the slightly better game when we look at the stats after the game, but I think both will have to be very good. Like, for example, against the Celtics in the first game in Houston, both James Harden and Russell Westbrook had really good games. And in the second game, Harden struggled from deep, especially in the fourth quarter. He went 0 out of 8 there. So, from deep. I think that if Harden doesn't have a good game or doesn't play to his standards, I don't think the Rockets will win. But I think they need to have their two superstars play at an MVP level.
I think having their two superstars play at an MVP level is definitely the game plan every night. Now, whether or not the other team allows them to do that, you know, is a completely different story. And it's funny, you know, I appreciate you mentioning, you know, a couple of the points that you did hit on. One, you know, the fact that after the last time that they played the Clippers, Doc Rivers said, you know, we forgot about the other MVP over there. It's funny because that's exactly what Jaylen Brown said after they lost after they won against the Boston Celtics for the second time in Boston. Immediately after the game, Jaylen Brown was like, yeah, we did a good job on Harden and we completely forgot about Russell Westbrook. And that's the dynamic, right? Is if you hone in too much on one of their two superstars, then the other one is going to get free reign to terrorize the court. So, you know, we discussed, you know, Harden, Westbrook, which, you know, what they need to do to make this game happen, you know, to pull out the win for the Rockets. But, you know, what are some of the individual matchups that you're looking forward to in this contest?
There is the matchup of Austin Rivers versus Lou Williams. Austin typically does well against guards like Lou Will, who are shifty and quick and can't overpower you, and especially operate on the perimeter. So, for example, again, Steph in the last year's playoff, he actually did, I thought he did really well. And it's a big reason Steph only shot, I think, 27% from three for the series, which is crazy because we need Steph Curry. But in game one of in this season series, Austin did really, really well against Lou Will. But in the other two games, he did just fine. And I'm curious to see how good will he defend him this time. Another matchup I'm very interested in is just Robert Covington versus Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, because since the Rockets switched so much, he's going to have his turn on Kawhi and Paul George. So I've watched the Minnesota Clippers game earlier today, the shot attempts of Kawhi and PG. And from what I've seen, there are not a lot of players who can actually challenge and bother Kawhi when he's shooting his mid-range jump shots in rhythm. But just because Covington is freakishly long, he's one of those players. But the problem with his matchup on Kawhi is that he's just not as strong physically. There were a couple of drives in the matchups between Minnesota and the Clippers this season, where Kawhi simply overpowered him to the rim, and Covington couldn't really do anything about it. And against Paul George, it's just about not biting for as many fakes, because Paul really likes to get you when he fakes, and then that draws the foul that he went Wade way, or just with some quick hesitation dribble moves. Covington sometimes struggles against those moves, against guys like Paul George, so and he hasn't done the best this season against him, so I'm curious to see how he'll do. And I think a big point about the matchup is that the Clippers themselves, they are small. It's like when Vika Zubac really isn't on the floor, which is, I think, roughly half the game, so the Clippers are either playing Montrez at center, with a 6'8 guy, so they're all 6'8 or shorter, or they're playing Jamichael Green at the 5, who is a shooter, so they're going 5 out. So then, I think it's going that both teams are going to end up playing the same style. And the point, and actually, the Clippers, when so far this season, they've played like 900 minutes, I'm pretty sure, when both Zubac and Mo Harkless were off the floor, so our basically, the two most significant non-shooters, except for Montrez. And they have plus 10 net rating during that in those minutes. So they actually also are very good when going small. Just that, so I think this matchup will be very interesting because they're basically going to play the same way. And I think that about the small ball matchup is that the point really, I think that the Clippers are most equipped, maybe out of any team, including the Bucks, to defend the Rockets, because they have Paul George and Kawhi, and even Pat Beverly can do some stuff. Even though I don't think he's as great against the 5-hour, because he just usually you can drive by him if you're a superstar, and then now the defense has to collapse and maybe give up an open three. But in general, the point of going 5-out and small on offense is to just keep pressure, and you need to keep pressure on the rim, and you allow your guards to drive. That's what James talked about in his interview with Rachel Nichols. But the Clippers don't really have anybody who can actually drive, like Russell Westbrook, for example, who just keeps driving and going at you and going attacking the rim basically almost every possession now. They don't really have anyone, so the small ball, I don't think it serves them as well as it does the Rockets. So I actually think that the game will be a pretty game with low scores. That's because I think the Clippers are equipped well to defend the Rockets, and the Rockets are also, I don't think they're going to have too much trouble defending the Clippers, although I may completely be wrong about that, because you never know if Paul George maybe just doesn't miss from three, like he hasn't missed from three in his last three games. So you never know. But that's what I think is going to happen.
You know, the guys from Locked On Clippers basically told me that Zubats is banned from playing the fourth quarter, apparently. He yes. never plays the fourth quarter, so that quarter will strictly belong to Montrezl Harrell or Jamichael Green, or maybe even a little bit of Morris at the center spot. But, you know, it's funny you say that, because I kind of think in a different sense, if the Clippers do run five out, I think it kind of favors the, and we've seen it at times, the post play that Kawhi Leonard does have. You know, he's not afraid to take a player down into the paint and use his size and his strength to take advantage of them. And so if the Clippers are running five out, then it makes it a lot harder for, and like you said, Robert Covington is probably the best equipped Rocket to deal with Kawhi Leonard, except for the fact that Kawhi can overpower him. So if the Clippers are playing five out and you've got Robert Covington matched up with Kawhi Leonard, then I don't see a world in which Kawhi's not going to try and use his size to back down Covington and get as close to the basket as possible for, you know, what is essentially an unguardable fadeaway or some type of a post move, which he's got an array of them right there near the basket to get some easy points. And before we end this segment and get into our final segment and share our final thoughts headed into this really big marquee matchup, is I think that the Rockets switching defense, an underrated part of it is offensive players have different looks thrown at them all game, because one possession you're guarded by Robert Covington, you know, a tall, agile, lengthy defender. Next possession you're guarded by PJ Tucker. Next possession you're guarded by James Harden. Next possession Austin Rivers, Westbrook, whoever it may be. And that makes it harder for an offensive player to maybe get into a rhythm and know where he can find his spots, because the defender is different every single time almost. Now, obviously the Clippers are going to hunt for the mismatch that they want, but there's still going to be some possessions where they can't get the switch properly, or shot clock's running down and you have to settle for whatever offense you can get at that point. And so I think that that's an underrated part of the switching scheme, where, you know, there may be some possessions where it is Rocco or Tucker or Harden or Rivers that's guarding Kawhi Leonard, and that makes it a bit harder for him to get comfortable against the person he's playing against.
So I also wanted to about the switching scheme. So for example, I'm not sure just how playable Ben McLemore will be in this game. I think it will be like a playoff preview, because this game is really important for both teams. So for example, let's say the Clippers keep trying, they have a space floor and they keep trying to get McLemore on Kawhi by forcing the Rocket to switch. Well, I think Kawhi scores on that like literally every single time, and I mean it's what.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to see how playable McLemore will really be, like in a playoff type, in playoff atmosphere. And about the matchups, I do think Tucker is the most equipped player to guard Kawhi, because he's just so strong. He's like one of the five guys in the league Kawhi can't overpower. But what I'm also really interested in seeing, I think James Harden has done really, really well against both of those players in one-on-one defense, which is basically what you have to defend when you switch on ball. So for him against Kawhi, I think we all remember that in the first game of the season, the previous one in Houston, he just did really, really well against him. And Kawhi shot 1 of 7, if I remember correctly, when guarded by Harden. And Paul George also, I remember him also last year struggling against James Harden. So what I'm also curious to see is just maybe for some possessions, the Rockets will throw James Harden on one of those players. Just see how he does if the load isn't too big for him offensively. So that's something I'm looking for. Also to trash talk a bit on Twitter, because that's also always fun. Always fun?
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah, so... how about the switching team? There will definitely be possessions where they just try and get a switch or maybe don't attack as much as they want. But I think these two teams are quite similar. They also play to the level of the competition, and their fourth quarter offense is not ideal, to say the least. So I think it would be a really gritty game, and that the Clippers, I don't think the, again, I already said it, I think it's going to be a low scoring game, but I think the Rockets will force a decent amount of turnovers just because the Clippers don't have elite passers, and that's just because they have a lot, like Reggie Jackson, for example, he hasn't turned the ball as much as I thought he would, and he really has given Lou Williams the freedom to play as a shooting guard. But against the Rockets, I think the switching defense, just switching 1-5 all game long, I do think it will throw them off, and really, just like you said, they won't get into a rhythm as easily. Maybe aside for the superstar, because that's why they do what they do, just ball out in every situation. But I think I think the Clippers will definitely see them off rhythm, especially in the first quarter, just because they're not used to seeing such defense.
Over under, how many post-ups do you think we're going to see out of Russell Westbrook in this one?
Ooh, that depends. If Patrick Beverley is going to guard him, I am a Patrick Beverley stan for life, and I will never stop loving him. But he absolutely cannot guard Russell Westbrook when Russ has so much spacing and actually realizes that, well, he can just drive every time. If Beverley is guarding Russ, we will just see a post-up literally every possession until the Clippers decide, okay, this isn't working, we need to do something else. So I think that's because the Clippers have four guards that Westbrook will want to attack, will want to post up if he ever gets matched up against them on offense in Lou Will, Reggie Jackson, Beverly, and Shamet. And McGuido too, but he's not playing anymore. I think we would see about 7 post-up or something like that. I think the over-under would be 7. Like, not too much, but I do think we will see quite a bit of post-ups.
All right, so you're taking the over on that. You think it'll be more than 7 times?
I'd say over, yeah.
Okay, all right, over it is. So we'll be right back. We'll have our final segment here in just 1 second, so you guys don't go anywhere. And we're here in our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day, getting ready for this big marquee matchup between the Rockets and Clippers. And so we've got a few more final thoughts to hash out. So the first of which, you know, and this maybe isn't necessarily isolated with just the Clippers game, although, you know, I did mention on Twitter that I did have some concerns because Clint Capela was a big part of those three matchups between these two teams earlier this season. And there's another guy who wasn't a part of those three matchups that we'll get to in just a moment. But first things first is, do we think that the lack of vertical spacing will hurt the Rockets or favor the Rockets in this matchup with the Clippers?
I think that overall it will help them a little bit just because of all the spacing. It just allows the players so much freedom to attack. It allows James and Russ to do basically whatever they want, and more times than not, it's going to be a good thing what they choose to do. But against the Clippers, actually, I think that Capela's presence of the vertical spacing was really important, because unless Zubac is playing, then they really can't really stop the lob like Montrez. And I still love Trez, but he can't really, if you run a Harden Capela pick and roll against Weaver and Montrez, it's usually going to end in the bucket just because Montrez is a 6'8".
Yeah, he's food.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so in Capella actually does well against him. If I remember correctly, in the first game, he held him to like 2 of 12 shooting, something. The worst shooting game of his career. But, yeah. So, and on offense, in Capella averaged 15 points and 15 rebounds and 62% shooting. I'm pretty sure in the matchups, he was really, really good. And in the last game, I think that he had like a plus 20 in a 2-point win or something like that, just because the Rockets, well, it was the time they still played Tyson Chandler. I thought that he can play regular minutes. And, well, he can't. But I think something really why I'm very excited for the game is that the Rockets just didn't go small against the Clippers in the previous three matchups. Like, for example, they played a total of 3 minutes with no Tyson Chandler or Clint Capella. And those minutes didn't go well, but I mean, it's 3 minutes. We can't take anything away from that. And it's just, I'm really interested in seeing how the Rockets small lineup does against the Clippers. That's because we haven't seen anything of it this season.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because unfortunately we're not going to get to see a preview of how this Rockets small ball lineup would fare against the Denver Nuggets, but we do get at least a one game sample size of how it's going to look against the Clippers. We've seen it a couple times against the Utah Jazz. I don't think we'll get to see it against the Oklahoma City Thunder, unfortunately. And then we do have two more matchups with the Mavericks, so we'll get, you know, a decent spread. And there's one more matchup with the Lakers too, so we'll get a decent spread of kind of seeing how small ball can be effective against the other Western Conference elite. Now, I mentioned it at the top of the segment, a guy who didn't play in any of the previous three matchups against the Clippers, Eric Gordon, will get his first shot at the Clippers. And frankly, I've been a little bit disappointed in his play as of late. Now, obviously, he's had the kind of, you know, lingering knee issues that he's been dealing with, missing some time here and there. So maybe he could be the X factor and be the, you know, the little push that gets you over the hill that is the Clippers in this game. I don't know what your thoughts are on Eric Gordon.
Yeah, I've been really interested from the moment the Clippers got Kawhi and Paul George in, how does Eric Gordon match up with them? Because he's 6'2", he's very thick, but so Kawhi, so he can just post him up, but he can shoot over him and sing off with Paul George. Gordon is not the best against guys like Lou Williams, who are quick like that. So I'm just not sure who does he guard, and when in a way that he still can be a positive player defensively, which he is when he's locked in. But on offense, I think just his shooting is going to do wonders. The Clippers doubled Harden a lot this season, which is honestly shocking to me, because I mean, you have Paul George, Kawhi, and Patrick Beverly, and you're that scared of. I think that overall teams should go should allow James Harden to isolate more often. Not as a Rockets fan, but just as someone who I think just the Rockets don't do as well when Harden just isolates every possession, unless Harden really is like, okay, he's dropping 60 tonight, then you gotta do something to stop it. But
I do want to jump in really quick and just share that the guys from over at Locked On Clippers did say that Doc Rivers is at the point in the season where he does want now Kawhi and PG to be kind of stepping up more so and taking on the tasks of, you know, one-on-one defense when it comes to the big names like James Harden. So maybe that was a reason why earlier this season he didn't want to, I guess, burn out Kawhi in a game, you know, early on in the season in November or December, you know, trying to go toe-to-toe with James Harden for 40-something minutes. So I think we will see a healthy dose of one-on-one action between Harden and Kawhi and Harden and PG-13 in this one, based on what they said.
Yeah, that's what the fans are looking for. That's what we've all been waiting for to see this season. So that's really exciting. I also think that just the team we play so hard, because the game is very important. Like, I know we love to say, okay, this is the most important game of the season. No, this, but I really think that there won't be a game as meaningful for the Rockets seeding-wise this season as this one. And maybe overall, aside from the Bucks game, just because of the Harden-Giannis beef, that would be an amazing game. But aside from that, I don't really see any game that would be as important or as fun to, or just really as important and crucial to the Rockets, just because of the they need to catch, they want to catch up to the Clippers. They want to get a second seed. Mike D'Antoni has said that multiple times. But they're currently 2 games back in the loss column from the Clippers. And if they lose, they'd be tied in the loss column with Utah for the 5th seed. So they basically go all the way back to where they were before All-Star break, before they went on this great 6-game winning streak. So this is really important, because if the Rockets don't win tonight, I don't think they have any chances of catching the Clippers, especially when you look the Clippers schedule. This is near the end of a very tough stretch for them. They play the Lakers after this, but then the schedule is really, it's basically a cakewalk all the way to the finish line. So I think it's extremely important to get the mental edge against the Clippers, because hey, we won 3-1 the season series against you, and season series 3-1 against you, and your only win was when we were up by 6. So like, just to get the privilege of trash talking the Clippers, I'm sure the Rockets want that. Russell Westbrook definitely wants that, to beat the Clippers in the season series. But I think because the game is so important in the seeding wise, I think just it will be an all-out war, basically. I think teams will show a bit more than usual of what they do in the playoff against the small ball Rockets. Like if it's the third quarter and the Rockets are up by 10 and the Clippers can't quite catch them, then they try and do something else that usually teams don't do in the regular season, and vice versa. I just think the game is so important for both teams that it's going to be really, be great locally as a fan perspective, and really just someone who tries to analyze the game. Just, I think, be really fun.
It's definitely going to be a playoff atmosphere type game. That is for sure. I am so hyped for this game. It is going to be a good one. And so one thing that we haven't addressed yet, do we think Austin Rivers is going to be able to get his dad thrown out again? I don't think it's going to happen, but it's still fun to think about.
I do think there will be someone will get thrown out, probably from both teams. I mean, so far we've had Patrick Beverly get thrown out, Lou Reed get thrown out, Russell Westbrook get thrown out. There is a lot of bad blood between the two teams. I think it's the only actual rivalry in the NBA right now. Maybe aside from, Philly Heat, but I think that's
it's the only real rivalry, because, you know, ESPN is trying to manufacture a fake rivalry between James Harden and Giannis, but it does go, you know, there are so many roots and ties between these two teams, it's huge.
Yeah, and there's also the playoff history of 2015, we remember how fun it was to win winning game 6 on the Clippers home floor.
Oh, Josh Smith.
Yes. So, I also be very surprised if Patrick Beverly doesn't get fouled out again. He's fouled out in all 3 games against the Rockets this season so far. And yeah, I don't know how much can he stay on the floor. Oh, and one last thing, which I do think will be good for the Rockets, is that Patrick Beverly just isn't as effective as a defender and a player overall when he isn't guarding the ball. So I think he's going to guard one of Westbrook and Harden to start the game. And I think the Rockets will really, I think the Rockets can honestly attack they can just drive and collapse the defense and win against Pat Bev most of the time, just because he's 6'1", 6 feet, and Harden and Westbrook are just too big and strong for him.
Okay, and I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your final score prediction?
The game is in Houston, and because I'm a homer, so I'm going to say, Rockets 108, Clippers 104.
Okay, all right, 108, 104. I like it. It's ballsy. I appreciate it. All right, anything you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Yeah, just in case you don't follow, which I doubt, but my Twitter account is at Itamar1710, with an I and not an L, because Bill Simmons already made that mistake once. But I think that's it.
All right, well, we appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, one more time for Itamar1710, or better known as Disney Gary Clark on Twitter. So, as Itamar pointed out, right after we finished that recording, unfortunately, as I record this little segue, outro bit, whatever, later on, I didn't even ask him the origin behind why he loves Gary Clark so much. So that is a story that we will save for another time, and I will be sure to get that story at some point in the future. But for now, as always, I sincerely appreciate you all listening, and we look forward to having you back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.